thankful for your grace and your kindness and your mercy to us as a nation. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, there are none that are righteous, no, not one. No nation is righteous. No people are righteous. And Lord, yet you have extended mercy and grace. We're thankful that as believers, we've been grafted into the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're thankful that we've been offered Christ and that many of us in this room have turned to him. And so we're thankful, Lord, that our hope is not in governments and chariots and all the things that many place their trust in, but our trust is in the name of the Lord our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so even today, as we deal and address this issue and walk through and pray together as a family, Lord, just remind us of our true citizenship and what it means to be called a follower of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was a challenging and interesting week, right? I recognize, even standing before you, that there are many of you that are all over the spectrum politically as well. It's not one party in this room, and even with different nationalities, the dynamics that poses. But I would say that I believe most people think that what happened on Tuesday was an upset. Upset meaning that most were predicting, polls, pundits, even magazines already had covers ready with President Clinton's photo on there. And so the events that happened on Tuesday night caught many by surprise, right? I think what's happened since then also has provided a scary, sad, whatever adjective you want to use, glimpse of the heart of our nation, right? There's been people that have truly been upset by they were trying to get Ms. Clinton elected, and you saw their faces, and you have people that are mocking them and making fun of that, right? You see on the other side, you have what probably is the most scary thing for me, I'm just being transparent, is the millennial generation, right? Where things, the way that they're being treated and codified and pacified because of their feelings being hurt bodes scary for our nation in the future. Right, where major universities cancel exams because students may be traumatized by a vote. You go from Tom Brokaw, and that's true if you didn't see that. Tom Brokaw's book, you know, The Greatest Generation. 50 years later, we've got millennials. And what does that mean for 50 years from now? Scary in some ways. But we've also seen difficult images. We've seen people being pulled from cars and beaten because of voting for a candidate. We've seen rioting, some of it genuine, some of it staged and paid for. We've seen nasty things being written both about the president-elect and about those who have lost, right? We've seen death threats communicated. We need unity. And if we're going to call for unity outside of these walls, it really behooves us as a church to go to the one who brings unity. And so I want to share with you two main points this morning. And then what we're going to do in response to those points is I'm going to offer four things for us to pray for. And unlike maybe sermons in the past where here's applications, go home and do this, what I'm going to do between each point is I'm going to actually stop. And we're going to pray right now. Because my fear is that many of you will hear these things and you'll go home and you really won't pray or you'll forget about it. But look around. There will be a collective power, the people of God joining together praying in this place today for these things that I think are biblical and the Lord would desire us to pray for. So again, a unique service, but one in which a uniqueness of our day, I think, warrants. So let me share a couple of themes for you. One biblical truth I think we see, that the Lord was in control on Tuesday night. While the media, while pollsters, while everybody, stock market, everybody seemed like it, what happened was shocking, the Lord was not surprised nor shocked. Listen to Romans chapter 13. Some of you were with us a year and a half ago when we walked through the entire book of Romans, so you remember this chapter, I'm sure, very clearly. But for the others of you, Romans 13, Paul says these words: "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Now, what we said then, and it still holds true now, is some would say, well, he's talking about, you know, submit to Christian leaders. That's not who was in charge when Paul wrote Romans. It was people who were persecuting Christians. It was people that were opposed to the gospel message. And yet Paul's word was, those who are in power, God has placed there, and he desires us to submit and to honor them. In Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel is speaking to Nebuchadnezzar and he's talking about what Nebuchadnezzar's seen and trying to explain to him how the Lord is at work and in charge, he says, blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. Listen, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. I think that's what we see in the book of Daniel. The Lord is sovereignly at work, bringing to pass his purposes, his agenda. Sometimes he raises kings up, sometimes he brings them down. And what happened on Tuesday was not an accident. It was not outside of God's control. It was specifically according to his purpose and plan. Now, let me say this, because I know some, oh, he's a Republican. Oh, wait. I'm a lover of Christ, and I want you to hear this. Some of you think that the Lord answers your prayer on Tuesday night. Some of you think that the Lord did not answer your prayer on Tuesday. I don't know where you fall on that, but I can tell you this. The Lord has brought to pass the one he wants in that position for such a time as this. It does not mean that the Lord is a Trump supporter or that the Lord wants to make America great again. It does mean, I believe, that the Lord is working and moving to advance his kingdom. The end goal that God has in mind is not Americanism, it's not capitalism, it's not even democracy. The end goal for which God is always moving, always working, always pushing forward is the advancement, the rule, the reign of Christ Jesus, of Christ's purposes, of his redemption, and of his eternal throne. So God is at work in the midst of human history, bringing things to pass this way and that way. We don't always understand it, but he is at work for one purpose, the exaltation of Christ. And what happened on Tuesday night in some way will serve Christ. It will. We need to remind ourselves of that as believers. The Lord was in control on Tuesday, which leads to a second point. The Lord is and will be sovereign over President-elect Trump's actions. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, you saw in that little video that we just put up there, this quote, this Bible passage from Proverbs 21. Listen, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. You get that? And that's not just some cute passage that we can pull out of Scripture and say, oh yeah, the Lord's working in King's heart. No, he demonstrates it over and over and over again. In Genesis, Abraham tells his wife Sarah, I'm going to tell him that you're my sister and not my wife because I don't want him to off me or like take you or whatever. So Abimelech believes that Sarah is not married, and so he's going to have relationships with Sarah. The Lord comes to King Abimelech and he says, do not sleep with her, for that is another man's wife. The Lord intervened in that individual's life. You see, God tells Israel, I'm going to raise up a king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he's going to be my agent of judgment and punishment upon you. Nebuchadnezzar comes in and brings Judah into exile. But during that time, the Lord also says you'll be there for 70 years, and at the end of 70 years, I will set you free. So then you go to the book of Ezra, and in the opening chapter, Ezra chapter 1, it says, the Lord stirred up the heart of King Cyrus that he would let the people go home. The Lord was working and moving in these kings' heart. They thought they were doing their will and their purposes, but God in his sovereign power and his ability to work and move takes a king's heart and he channels it however he desires for his purposes and to accomplish the kingdom of Christ. We see it with Pharaoh. What did he say about Pharaoh? For this very reason, I have raised you up. Why? That I may display my power and my glory in you. Oh, and I'm going to harden your heart. I mean, over and over and over again, you see the Lord is at work in leaders throughout the Bible in order to accomplish God's purpose. Again, it is to glorify Christ. The Lord has been working in President Obama's heart, and he's been moving it how as he sees fit, and he will also work in President-elect Trump's heart to accomplish his purposes. Now listen, it's important for us to remember, our great and mighty God is at work, and yet sometimes the way he works is mysterious. We don't understand it. How would you raise up a nation to come against us, God? I'm going to do something in your day that you wouldn't believe even if I told you. Remember when we worked through Habakkuk? Sometimes he moves and works in ways that we don't understand, or we say, this can't be of the Lord. All the while, it is for the purpose of advancing the gospel. This may come through Christian persecution. Throughout the history of the church has spread the most when persecution has been the greatest. When the church is in power, when the church becomes lazy and complacent, you know what we do? We quit sharing the gospel. In the book of Acts, when they experienced persecution, they fled, but when they fled, they shared Jesus. Mysterious how God works. Sometimes his ways occur. The gospel advances through global wars. Sometimes his ways advance through stock market crises or fluctuations. Sometimes his will is accomplished through society changing and through moral issues that are happening. I mean, think about it. What causes you, the people of God, to pray more when everything's going great or when things are challenging? And so maybe sometimes the Lord allows challenging things to come into our lives so that we quit resting in ourselves or resting in political parties and we say, Lord, we need you. Oh, we need you. Right? The Lord is at work, and his will is to make Jesus known globally. And his will is not thwarted by Republicans. It's not thwarted by Democrats. It's not thwarted by libertarians. It's not thwarted by any kind of election fraud. It's not thwarted by popular vote versus electoral vote. It's not thwarted by anything that man thinks can stop God's will. God is at work and moving. And he will be at work in the heart to accomplish his purpose in President Trump. It may be a hardening, it may be a softening, but the Lord will be at work as he has been at work in every other president's heart. Therefore, what do? Let me share four of them. One, I think at first we should just pause and thank the Lord for our form of government. This is the month where we are to give thanks and give thanks in every circumstance. I mean, stop and think with me for a minute. We should give thanks that on, I don't know what day it was, Wednesday, Thursday, the August Thursday, we were able to see President Obama and President-elect Trump sit in two chairs by each other, conversate, shake hands, and leave the room without any physical blood being shed. We laugh, but the way most governments change globally is through coups, the military actions. You, if you chose to, were able to express your view, your vote. Now, the sad thing is, I mean, think about this. Wars were fought that African Americans could vote, and women had their right given to them to vote later on in history, and yet most are showing that over half of America didn't even vote. Now, maybe that's because of who was running. I don't know, but think about that as such a great opportunity that people are just ignoring. We should give thanks to the Lord that we have an opportunity to make our voice heard. We should give thanks to the Lord that because of our government, because of the fact that we have peaceful transitions of power, we're not afraid of what's going to happen on January 7th. Oh, yeah, we may be afraid of what Trump does. I know some of you may in your mind think the world's going to come to an end, but it's not unless Jesus ordains it to. But January 18th or January 22nd or whatever it happens in January, right? I mean, we're still going to be able to come together as a church. We're still going to be able to worship together as a church. It's not like military people are going to be at the front of our doors now telling us we can't come in here, right? I mean, that is what happens with some of our brothers and sisters globally. So we should thank the Lord that he allows us to live in such a time as this. So let's pray for that and give thanks even now. Father, hear the prayers of your people even as they pray. Father, thank you for the form of government you've allowed us to live under as a nation for many years. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given us presidents that we've been able to have a voice in electing. We're thankful, Father, that the way our government works, we're allowed to come together today without any fear. And Lord, we pray that we would use our vote, we would use this opportunity to glorify you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. But it's not just giving thanks for our government. The Bible also then, because the Lord is in control, because of what happened on Tuesday was at his hand, we should also then pray for President-elect Trump. Some of you again now, oh, he's just talking about Trump. I have said in this church multiple times, it is our responsibility to pray for whoever is president. I've encouraged you to pray for President Obama. You still should pray for President Obama. There's a transition that's going to happen. He needs wisdom and leadership there. But you should also be praying for our new elected president. Why? Because he now is going to be making decisions that are going to impact us globally. The Bible tells us to pray for leaders, to pray for our kings, to pray for those who are in power, right? So we should be praying for him for wisdom about who to appoint on cabinets, who should be in his inner circle, who should have his ear to give him wisdom, right? Some of you said, well, I'm not going to vote for Trump because I don't like Trump, but I'm going to vote for the party, I'm going to vote for the ticket because they're going to appoint conservative judges. Well, then pray for that. Pray, Lord, give us judges that are going to honor the word, that are going to promote life, that are going to do things that honor Christ. Pray for those things, but pray for him to have wisdom. Pray that the things he says would unite and not divide, because we already are divisive. But it's not just praying for us to have wisdom, but praying for his protection. I mean, it is unbelievable that there are media people and others that are vocally, publicly calling for his assassination. Can you honestly believe that? You don't have to look hard. Go on Twitter, go on Instagram, go on Facebook. It's there. As a believer in Christ, you should never want anybody like that. You shouldn't want Obama killed. You shouldn't want Trump killed. You shouldn't want that. And if that is in your heart, that is not of the Lord. You should be praying for his protection, and not just his protection, but the Secret Service and everybody else that will be around him. Pray for his family. There are things out there that are being communicated that you should hurt his wife violently, sexually. Where do we live? And the same types of things have been said about Ms. Obama and about his daughters, and we shouldn't do that either. We should pray for protection. We pray for President-elect Trump. We should pray for his heart. I don't know if he's saved or not. I know people out there say he's saved. I've seen him in town. I've been to his house before. But I don't know him. He didn't invite me. The orchestra was there and he just showed up. I don't know him. And probably none of you here know him either. You know what you've heard about him, but only the Lord knows him. But what we should be praying is, Lord, if he's not saved, save him. That should be the prayer of every believer. And what we should also be praying is, Lord, if the king's heart is in your hand and you direct it where you want, if what he believes is what is being communicated about, what he believes about gays and what he believes about people of color and what he believes about all these other things, if those are the things that he truly believes, then change his heart to be more in line with Scripture. Those are the things we should be praying for rather than arguing with other people about what what he believes or what he doesn't believe, because we can't impact that except through prayer. But prayer does work, right? So we can be praying for those things, praying for his heart. So even now, why don't we pause and you pray silently, and then I'll pray together for us for President-elect Trump. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up to you President Obama in these last 70 days or so of his administration, that you would give him wisdom as he helps transition power from one president to the next. We pray also, Father, for President-elect Trump, that you would be working and moving in his mind and his heart. Give him wisdom that is from above, Lord, that the things that he does would not be to our ill or to our hurt, but Lord, it truly would be things that bring unity. Lord, we know his heart is in your hand, and you can do with it what you want. And so we're asking, oh Lord, that you would give him a heart that is sensitive and gentle to those who are oppressed, to those who are downtrodden, to those who even now feel, Lord, great angst of what has happened in this election. And Lord, that you would allow there to be a spirit of unity. Give him wisdom and protection, Lord. Protect his family. We pray these things in Jesus' name. But it's not just praying for President Trump. We all should be praying for our nation. We should be praying for our nation. I mean, it really is hard to turn on the TV or Facebook or any kind of social media right now. Not just in what's on there, but the fact that that's what's going on in our nation. We should pray for justice. That's a biblical theme. We should pray for that wrongs would end, that those who are being mistreated, that their treatment would be changed, that there are people in power that are putting down others, that are misusing their power, that would stop. We should pray that racism would end. We should pray that killings would end, both cops being shot and cops shooting individuals. We should pray for all of those things. We should pray for compassion, that as a nation that we would love our neighbors, that we would seek to better our citizens, that we would seek to see how we could serve and love one another, that we would pray for unity. Remember Jesus said, and it's often been quoted by Lincoln, that a nation or a house divided against itself will not stand. You know what is kind of scary? Is not just this election, but almost every election here in the last 20 years, at least. The difference in one party and another is so small. I'm not talking about their views. I'm just talking about how they get elected. 49% here, 48% here, 49, 49, 51, 48. I mean, it is so close. We as a nation are really divided. The fact that 100 million people vote and there's really such a small difference and the difference between the two? What does that say about what we as a nation think about major issues? We are divided. And if God doesn't bring a sense of unity, what does that bode in the next 10 years for us as a nation? We should pray for unity. But we should also pray for a moral and spiritual revival. One of the things that has been so amazing to us as a nation is twice in our history, God has brought great awakenings, spiritual awakenings, where people who were dead in sins and trespasses have been made alive by the power of the gospel. Because you see, that's really what's needed. Not trying to get somebody to quit voting for one party and come into another party, not helping somebody see, well, socialism's bad and capitalism's good or vice versa. Those things won't matter in eternity. What matters in eternity is whether somebody knows Christ or not. And if somebody knows Christ, then a lot of these issues of injustice and racism and all the other things that you can throw out there, when a person is in Christ, they should cease. So that's what we should pray for. God, would you be gracious to us and send revival again? Would you send awakening again? He's done it before. Would he do it again? So will you join me silently praying for our nation even now? Lord, we look at the news and we look at all the other things that we get information from, and it seems like there is just a spirit of divisiveness in our land. Lord, we're asking you to move and to work and to bring healing. Lord, that you would bring that healing through the gospel, that you would move and work through the power of your Holy Spirit to bring about a renewal. Lord, that you would bring awakening, that those who are blinded, that those who are pursuing after flesh and the things of the world, that they would see the glory and the power and the majesty and the awesomeness of Christ. And that they would turn from sin and find life. And then, Lord, as our nation really becomes a nation under God, that you would show us how social justice improves, how racism is obliterated, how the poor and how those who've been disenfranchised and those who've been mistreated would find hope and justice and compassion. We pray these things, Lord. We pray for unity through Jesus. Amen. And the last, because the Lord is in control, because the Lord brought to pass the events of Tuesday night, it's a reminder that we need to be praying for our churches. You need to be praying for this church and every church. Praying that we would be more holy. That what has happened would be a reminder to us of the seriousness of walking in Christ-likeness. That we would be driven to put off sin. Okay, that the things that you heard that Trump said in the video and those kind of things, that we would say, we don't want that in our life, we don't want that in our children, and that we would speak life and truth, but that we ourselves wouldn't be looking at those things, that we ourselves wouldn't be doing those sorts of things, talking that way. That we would be seeking holiness and righteousness. That we would put off sin, that we would strive the best we can to be like Christ, that God would do that in our churches. One of the issues with our nation, the reason our nation is the way it is because the church has stopped being the church. Which leads to another thing you could pray for, praying in our churches. Pray for more evangelism. Again, the issue that we face as a nation at the heart is a heart issue. It's not a race issue, it's not an education issue, it's not a finance issue, it is a heart issue. It's evil hearts living in the flesh, and what we need, what the nation needs, what the world needs is to hear there is hope in Christ. We need to pray that we would be more evangelistic, that we would take seriously the commandment that God has told us to go and make disciples, that instead of being judgmental, instead of being harsh, that we would have compassion. Look, see, when I say that word, I know some of you think, oh, compassion equals watering down the gospel. That is not true at all. It doesn't have to be that way. We can be loving, we can be compassionate, we can be broken for those who are having struggles in their life, but yet still maintain the gospel that has been once for all delivered to the saints. The gospel never changes, except it should be changing us. Make sense? So we don't water down the gospel and start modifying and amending what we believe in order to be friends with the world. No, we don't do that. We teach and we preach and we say what is right, but we do it with a spirit of grace, a spirit of humility, a spirit of brokenness, a spirit of love, a spirit of prayer, right? Remember when Jesus looked out on the people, he said they were like sheep without a shepherd. He was broken over their lostness. And for us, we need to quit judging them and looking down on them and thinking about all the things they were doing and just having these hard hearts. And instead, what we need to say is they need the same Savior. And how are they going to hear about the Savior unless we tell them about the Savior? We You need compassion in our hearts. Brokenness in our hearts. When we see people protesting and people setting fires to cars and people mad about what might happen with abortion or all these other issues, they're blinded to the truth of the gospel. And that should cause us to be fervently praying, Lord, give me opportunity to speak to my neighbor. Give me opportunity to love on somebody at my work who's different. Let me communicate the gospel in a way that is winsome. The gospel is offensive. It's going to offend people because what it is saying is that your life is not lining up with God and you're not in charge. God is. But we should never be the reason that people take offense. There's a difference there. I don't know if this is helpful to you or not. My thinking was, I could tell you these things and you could go home, like I said at the beginning, but I want us praying. I want us praying as a church, and not just today, but tomorrow, the next day, next week. I'm not going to bring this up again next week, but you know what I'm saying, that we don't just walk out of here and say, okay, we're done with that, let's move on. No, that we're serious about seeking the Lord, about praying. Let me just close with this last thought. David Platt, Southern Baptist International Mission Board president, this week said these words. This is what it all really boils down to for us. With all the uncertainty of the election reminding us that the world is an unsure place, it sure has been good to remember that the most significant news in the world remains completely unchanged. And here's the news. It's the news that our king is still on the throne, that our citizenship is still in his kingdom, that our confidence is still in his reign, that our joy is still in his salvation, that our inheritance is still as his children, and that our hope is still in his coming. None of those things have changed because of what happened on Tuesday. We still have the same mission, same purpose, same calling, same salvation, same glorious hope, same promise of his coming. And he goes on. None of these things have changed, not one. And none of them would have changed had the other candidate won the presidency either. Consequently, brothers and sisters, our task today remains just as sure today as it was yesterday and the day before. We are spreading the immeasurably glorious news of the gracious King to men, women, and children around the world whose hearts are longing for the one leader who alone can love, protect, provide for, save, and satisfy them, not just for a time on this earth, but for all time in eternity. That is worth telling the world. Get what he's saying there? Don't be so caught up in whether it was Trump or Clinton. Be caught up in that Jesus reigns and we are his ambassadors called to make that known. Our mission hasn't changed. Our message hasn't changed. Let's be about our King's business. Let's pray. Father, we battle this tension about we're Americans and we take pride in our nation, and yet, Father, there are times when we allow that to supersede our true identity. First and foremost and forevermore, we will be your children, sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who reigns regardless of who our president is. So, Lord, let us not be discouraged. Let us not be arrogant or haughty, whatever side we fall on. But, Lord, let us be faithful. Let us be faithful to being about what you called us to be, whether it's a president that we affirm or a president that we're concerned about. Lord, let us be faithful in preaching and teaching and loving and making much of Jesus. We do pray, Lord, for our nation and all the things that we've said already today. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for churches in Palm Beach County, and we pray for churches globally, that the result of Tuesday wouldn't be we have power or we have this or we have that, Lord, whatever it is that people are thinking, but the results of Tuesday would be that your church would be invigorated to make much of Jesus. Lord, come. Come quickly. And when you come, find this church and these believers faithful to the task you've called us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.